Straight Shooter with Stephen A.
A member of our government has told you and others, I guess, that there is a form of alien life and machinery which maybe brought this living creature here that interacted in some form with people?
Yeah, they have. And they've, it's pretty wild. I know. But I'm just telling you, I'm not going to lie to you. I'd take a lie to tell you. You won't put me on a polygraph. I'll take it. But, you know, this is what the guy told me. I mean, I've had a very high-ranking naval official describe, you know, I've talked about this before, underwater craft, something big as a football field, moving at over 200 miles an hour. And there's no fish in the ocean that would do that. We don't even have a sub that'll probably do 40 miles an hour under the... And the last thing he said before he left my office was, it was kind of weird because he didn't go out the... He went out the side door, which nobody ever uses. And he looked at me, he pulled me up close, he said, "Tim, they're real." And that's the last thing he said to me. That'll be the title of my book, I guess.
Interesting to say the least. My next guest has represented Tennessee's 2nd Congressional District since 2019. He serves on the House Committees on Oversight and Government Reform, Foreign Affairs, and Transportation and Infrastructure. Please welcome the Straight Shooter for the first time, Representative Tim Burchett. Welcome to Straight Shooter, sir. Pleasure to meet you. How you doing? How's everything?
Thank you, sir. It's a big honor being on with you. You're a phenomena. You're something else.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
It's a real pleasure to be with you. Real pleasure.
Thank you so much. We'll get into the aliens later because I'm interested in it. Damn it, I believe you. So you don't have to worry about that. But we could get into all of that later. I want to go to more pressing issues for us at this particular immediate moment. As a member of the Foreign Affairs Committee, what were your thoughts when the President of the United States the other day threatened that, quote, "a whole civilization will die," end quote, if Iran does not open the Strait of Hormuz?
It made me think that how he negotiates. He comes on strong so he can pull back. It's a negotiating style. It's not what we're used to in Washington, but nothing. You know, I always tell people that thing that just ran by you was an iceberg, because that's about as fast as Washington is. We can't get out of our own way, either party. We pass bills that don't go anywhere in the Senate, and they do vice versa. And the whole town's crooked as a dog's leg. Let's just be honest about that. It's a crooked game, you know. To move up in committee leadership, both parties, you're basically when you start the congressional session or whatever, the year you start, you're issued a piece of paper, and it tells you how much money you need to raise if you want to get to certain committees. I was told when I got to Congress, I met with my representative on that, and he said, you know, we're going to look at, you know, how you vote and your relationship. And then he says, how you do across the street. Now, Mr. Smith, across the street, you're not allowed to raise money in the Capitol legally. I might be the only one that follows that rule. I'm not sure. But you go across the street, the Republicans have an office over there, and the Democrats, I'm sure, have the same thing. And so you go over there, and they look at how much money you raise for the conference. So it doesn't, I always tell people, and my friend Peyton Manning, if the NFL was Congress, he'd still be waiting to get in. It has nothing to do with ability, and it all just how, and so you figure these lobbyists for certain industries, they want Stephen A. Smith to be the chairman of whatever committee in the industry that will get behind you at an early time and say, hey, we need to get behind this guy. We can mold him. And they give you money for your campaign. It's all legal. It's all you can research it to see how much they've given. And then you move up because of that structure. And there's really only two ways to move up. And I'm going to be blunt. You got to either kiss a lot of ass and raise a lot of money. You have to do both of those, and I'm really not very good at either one.
How much money?
Go ahead.
Representative, how much money are they talking about you raising? When they sit up there and they tell you you got to raise money, how much money are we talking about? I don't know if anybody's ever asked that. I'm going to ask. How much money are we talking about?
Well, for an A committee, probably $2 or $3 million.
Wow.
And I serve on B and C committees at best. I serve on three committees, which is very unusual. And I'm vice chair of DOGE, which is operates almost like a full committee because the commitment is there. But everybody's on one committee. Some folks are on two, but I don't think anybody's on three committees, but I'm on three committees. I served 16 years in the legislature in Nashville. I didn't go down there to chase women or become a country music star or work on my golf game. I went to work, and that's why I went to Washington. And that's not really cool. You know, two or three nights a week, I eat peanut butter and jelly for supper, peanut butter and jelly at PB&J. I sleep in my office on a couch, and I don't come from money. Mama was a professor at a historically black college here in Knoxville College. She's actually in their Hall of Fame. And my daddy was a dean at UT. So, you know, these guys and gals, and there's nothing wrong with it. More power to the folks that come down there that have money. And then, you know, some of them leave with a lot more, but I have not achieved that.
Yes.
And it's not one of my goals, actually.
I got you. Representative, let me ask you this question. It's currently a 2-week ceasefire, but are you concerned the conflict will turn into a forever war as it pertains to Iran and what's going on with them and us via President Trump right now?
100%. Anytime we're involved in any conflict, whether it be sending $180 billion to Ukraine or anything else, we're just one step away from, hey, we need to bring some troops in to monitor something. You remember Vietnam? You and I are, I guess, about the same age. I think you're probably a little younger than I am. But Vietnam, you know, they were going there. It was basically to escort folks in and out and do things like that. And then it escalated, and then we started sending troops in. And then we were coaching them on how to fight a war. And all of a sudden, we're in war. And then that's the way it happens. And these countries overseas, a lot of them, their populations are expendable. They don't care. They don't have the same belief system you and I have. And there's only about 10% of Iran or less has the radical belief system that runs that country. The rest are fairly impoverished people that don't have that belief system, but live in fear for their lives. So they're forced to do things.
You know, I got to ask you, I'm thinking about, you know, the nearly 100 congressional Democrats and some Republicans, including former Georgia Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene. You've had people out there calling for the 25th Amendment to be invoked and for President Trump to be removed from office because they believe he's unfit. Where do you stand with all of that? We all know it's not going to happen. Let's get that out the way. He ain't getting removed from office, okay? They can bloviate all they want to. He's not going anywhere until 2028. But my question to you would be, is he fit for office in your estimation based on some of the things you're seeing him do, based on some of the things you're seeing him say?
I think he is, and this is a straight talk situation, so I'm going to be straight talk with you. There ain't too many saints get elected to that high of an office. It's a rough and tumble world, and people get roughed up. My friend here in Knoxville, Haller and Hill, on the radio, he's got a quote. He says, politics is a contact sport. And brother, you better put your cup on and you better put your helmet on if you want to get in this game, because it is a rough and tumble world. And what he's saying is, I remembered when the Watergate tapes and all that was going on, and they found out Nixon had secretly recorded stuff. And, you know, and he's a Quaker, and nobody ever heard him curse in public or anything. And then they listened to the tapes and he's cussing up a storm, you know, and it just shocked everybody. I mean, what do you... Trump negotiates with Teamsters in New York, and it's rough talk. You know that. You played sports at the most elite league level, and you know up close. I mean, I can remember in high school, up close, people say some stuff that, you know, it's pretty rough. But, you know, and that's just the way Trump is. He has no filter, and he does not care. He wants to deliver the goods, and that's his goal.
Yeah. Well, I didn't. I tried to play at Winston-Salem State. I wasn't that great and it wasn't elite. So I'm not going to lie about that. But I will tell you this. I get where you're coming from. But for me, when I think about the president and the position that he has taken, I do understand those who have supported him, particularly on the right, having the mindset that, you know something, that's him just talking. That's him just bloviating. You know what? He's just running his mouth. It's a negotiating tactic. Here's why a lot of people were against him and didn't vote for him, Representative, because the rhetoric scares a lot of American people because they don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. Like, we're sitting here today, and you got the Strait of Hormuz that needs to open up. 20% of the world's oil goes through there. Trump obviously wants it open. He doesn't want Iran stalling stuff the way that they've done for weeks. Doesn't want gas prices elevating. Don't want all of this stuff happening, right? The American people, when they hear him talking like that, some of them do believe he's crazy enough to do what the hell he said he's going to do. And as a result, it could put America in a tremendous, tremendous bind. So to me, that level of chaos coming from the Oval Office, the absence of statesmanship, is what makes you nervous. One of the things that I do in raving about Marco Rubio is I say he's the adult in the room because so many Trump acolytes don't seem like Trump. Like even I've said Vice President Vance. He seems like somebody that wants to be Trump as opposed to somebody that just wants to do his job. That's where I'm coming from with it. Do you not find yourself concerned when you hear the president open his mouth and create such chaos, whether it's in the market or anything else?
Well, we're Christian people in my family, and dropping an F-bomb at any time on Easter Sunday is not appropriate, in my opinion. I don't aspire to that kind of language. I say dadgummit a lot. I told everybody if I had a country music album, it would be I got a swear jar full of IOUs because I got a 18-year-old daughter, and I'm trying to make her think I'm the Christian she thinks I am. So I try to watch my language, and I don't like that. But again, you're talking world leaders, and a lot of these world leaders, let's just be honest, they're thugs, okay? They are dirt bags, and they're murdering thugs. And we've had people, in my opinion, in this country that have risen to some pretty high levels that are of that caliber. But because of the media or their ability to hide that from the public, they've cast themselves in a different light.
All right. Is that your way of saying the president is one of them, or the president is being the way that he is because he has to respond to those kind of folks?
I think because he knows he has to respond to those kind of folks. I've been with him many, many times in real life, and I've never heard him curse. Mm-hmm. And never heard him curse. And when I've been with him in one-on-one or in a group, I'm just being honest with you.
Yeah, well, I wasn't talking about him cussing. I wasn't talking about him cussing, Mr. Representative. I was talking about him bombing Iran off the face of the earth, alluding to that's what he was going to do. That's what I was talking about.
I don't think that's part of the strategy. I don't think he wants the innocents to suffer because he realized that you're just talking about a 10% thing. I think he's very frustrated, though, because his advisors told him we need to arm one group and they'll get the arms to the Iranian people. And they ended up keeping the guns. And Trump warned his people that they would do that because he knew human nature. And you've got these diplomats that have continuously gotten us into these wars. That's part of the problem, too. Our intelligence, I always tell people our military intelligence is a whole lot like congressional ethics. It just does not exist at much of a level.
Really? I didn't realize that. I mean, I hear people bragging about U.S. intelligence all the time, whether it's the FBI, CIA, whatever, and they brag. You're telling me our intelligence is weak? Our intelligence is not up to snuff? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I am, because you're dealing with human nature. And in the past, we haven't funded those agencies. Washington is full of war pimps. They love war because they're portfolio warriors, sir. That's going to, let's look at Ukraine. I give you, and please call
sure.
me Tim.
Go ahead. Okay, yes, sir. Go ahead.
I get a little look around for some old guy when you say representative.
I got you.
Okay, Ukraine. Now, I haven't voted for a penny. I think we've given them $180 billion so far, at least. Well, we gave them our missile defense system. Now, our missile defense system is the best in the world. Let's just be honest. It's a multi-billion dollar apparatus. So we gave them that. And in doing so, we had to replenish ours, our supply, if that makes sense to you. And in doing that, we did it with a multi-billion dollar no-bid contract. Who do you think owns stock in that missile defense company, in those companies? Mm. Members of Congress. Members of Congress own stock in that, sir. So to think that you're dealing with an honorable bunch in either party, That's right. You know, stock trading bill, the one that I had, it just said you can't own stock. There's more people playing professional baseball than members of U.S. Congress. They ought to treat it as an honor. And I'm sick and tired of hearing members of Congress say, both parties, you know how much money this cost me, Burchett, to be here? Well, dadgummit, go back home and do it. Because the American, this is an, if you don't get off that airplane, sir, and walk up to that Capitol every week and get chills, you need to put your ass back on that plane and go home, because we need people up there that want to serve and not want to increase their portfolios.
Tim, is that what makes it seem so easy for folks on the right to turn the blind eye and a deaf ear when we hear the Democrats, and not just on Capitol Hill, but a governor like a Gavin Newsom out of California and other calling President Trump the ultimate grifter, somebody that is, you know, not just sleazy, but himself, his family, padding their wallets, et cetera. Because based on what you're saying, you're basically saying, are you kidding me? Practically everybody does it in Washington. Everybody's trying to pad their wallets. Doing it better than the rest. Is that what this is all reduced to as a conversation when it comes to that?
I wouldn't point the finger at Trump. I think he's if he's doing all those things you're saying he's doing, he's probably at the bottom of the list. And everybody wants to talk about Pelosi and all her trades that she's made and everything. Sir, she's not even in the top 10 in Congress. And everybody laughs about it. You know, that's why, again, here I am talking about it, I'm sure. And what's going to happen is somebody's going to come see me on the House floor. Mm-hmm. It'll be a friend of mine and say, hey, Burchett, man, you can't be saying that stuff about.
Well, damn it, it's the truth. You can get away with it. You work with them. You don't work for them. You represent the state of Tennessee. That's what I know.
Right. You're exactly right. And I remind new members that every time. I say, guys, you don't work for a dadgum person up here. You don't work for anybody up here. You work for the people back home. And that's part of the problem.
So the bottom line is that we have a bunch of politicians on Capitol Hill. And what you're telling us is that the inordinate amount of individuals representing our country in the House of Representatives and in the Senate, essentially, it's a very profitable job to have. Even though, for the record, it says it's a few hundred thousand dollars in salary, but it's not an accident that Marjorie Taylor Greene, for example, came into the House of Representatives worth a few hundred thousand dollars, if that, and departed reportedly worth $25 million. In other words, you're saying that's normal. That's par for the course. Stephen A., get used to it. Straight Shooter audience, get used to it. That's what it is. Is that what you're saying?
Both parties. Again, I'm not. And the thing that they're doing is not illegal, Mr. Smith. It's not illegal, but it should be. Here, can I give you one more quick example?
Please.
I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a capitalist. Okay, I enjoy that kind of thing, and so I do things to keep my mind from going, because this stuff really frustrates me, sir. So I live on a little farm, and I go out at night. I don't sleep at night much. I maybe get 3 or 4 hours sleep at night, and I make skateboards. Okay. Got a lot of fences that fall down. They're oak. Okay. I got a little sawmill. I cut wood. I do bamboo and stuff. So I make this skateboard out of banana fiber, oak, and bamboo. And I gave it to Tulsi Gabbard. You know who Tulsi is, right?
Yes, I do.
So she's from Hawaii. She and I used to work out at the first President Trump's first State of the Union address. She kind of outed me. She said, Burchett, she said, my dadgum birthday's next month. Where's my skateboard? Because I told her I'd make her a skateboard sometime. So I make her this skateboard. It's pretty cool. And I take it to her. It's a longboard, pintail. And I'd give it to her. And so people all over the world are saying, hey, Tim, where can I get a Burchett board? Where can I get a Burchett board? So I want to do things right. You know, people like me and you, we got to watch ourselves, because everybody's looking for us to screw up. I hear people talking about you maybe running for office. And I guarantee you, if both parties have looked into you, your voting record, your business interests, your family, you know that. So they, I give this skateboard to Tulsi. She puts it out on the internet. You know, she's super popular, especially with young people. And so I get people all over the world say, Burchett, where can I get a Burchett board? So I go down and talk to ethics. I talk to the lawyer. And this is about verbatim what he said. He said, oh, you can't sell it and you have to put it, do all this other stuff. And I said, so wait a minute. You're telling me I can do insider stock trading, but I can't sell a dadgum skateboard? And they said, that's right. So I got to form a corporation, or my wife does. I go to work for her. She pays me a salary, but it can't cross, like, I think $17,000 or $18,000 a year. And then I have to put our farm in an LLC. I mean, it's so ridiculous, sir.
It is.
And all I'm trying to do is be legitimate. But to be legitimate, I gotta almost mislead the public on what's going on. It's a scam. It is a scam. And we ought to be, you're technically a member of the media.
Yes, I am.
I don't want to curse you like that, but the number one thing in the media people ought to be about for is disclosure and transparency.
Absolutely.
And so why don't I just say, hey, I'm Tim Burchett. I'm going to make a few dadgum skateboards in my barn and sell them on the internet. And I'm going to tell you how much money I make. And that ought to be enough.
I mean, I agree with that.
I do licenses and I pay all my taxes to, I'm talking about all that to the IRS. Nothing, mm-hmm. nothing spectacular. I mean, if you want to get out and sell lemonade on the street corner or something, you ought to be able to do that, Mr. Smith.
That's right. Especially in a capitalistic society, no doubt about it. Representative Tim Burchett right here with Stephen A. Straight Shooter with Stephen A. I got to go back to Iran in this regard, Representative Tim. Do we have an exit strategy? And if so, does it depend, or rather, not if so, but does it depend on regional partners if a land conflict occurs? Dual question.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I believe we do. I don't think Trump wants that either. I think he sees the long game is to get the oil. But one thing you need to remember, too, and I'm going to step on some more toes here, okay, if that's all right, if you're straight shooting.
No, please, I ain't stopping you. Feel free.
How much oil do you think America gets from Iran?
America gets from Iran? I'd say zero.
Zero. Right. Yet that gum oil's going up. We're exporting oil now, yet it's a commodity. Burchett, you don't understand what a commodity is. So let me tell you something. We give oil companies billions of dollars in subsidies every year, and they come down and pour them out to us, and then they get record profits. Diesel. I have a diesel. We got a little farm. I drive a dually. It's five something a gallon out here now. Diesel is the first cut they take. Well, it goes, I think, kerosene, then diesel, then gas, and then, you know, the unleaded all the way up to the top. And diesel is the cheapest to make, yet it's the most expensive. And they say, oh, it's a commodity. I thought you were a capitalist. Well, hell yeah, I'm a capitalist. But capitalism is not dumping your hard-earned tax dollars in the pockets of a billion-dollar corporation. That's not capitalism at all. That's some subsidized socialist type thing. Right. And I'll guarantee you they're going to show record profits. And don't tell me that what's in those gas pumps right now has any effect on what's going on overseas. That stuff, it's over six, 8 months ago. That was in the ground wherever they got it. And that stuff's been for a long time. And they're ripping us off. And when they say, Burchett, you don't understand commodities. Well, why in the world, if it's all about the price of oil, why isn't the oil at the AutoZone going up in those little at the same amount? If it's about the oil, it's about the commodity. There's no difference in that oil in that little can than that gasoline in the ground in those pumps outside your local filling station. They're ripping us off. This is all a scam, and we allow them to.
Who's ripping us off?
Both parties are in bed with them.
Who's ripping us off specifically? I'd like names. Who's ripping us off?
The big oil companies, all of them are, that are charging these enormous prices because we are the price. And again, they're going to show you all these bogus charts. And as soon as this hits, the big boys are going to call you and say, man, don't get that nut on here again. And then this is, again, why I don't get a lot of contributions, but I win re-election because America gets it. They're tired of getting ripped off by big oil. And it's just, but the reason they're allowed to do it is because the politicians, that's my bottom line. The politicians allow them to do that. They shower with contributions both sides of the aisle when they need to. Whenever any new technology like fracking or something, I don't know,
So why are you still there? So why do you choose to still be there? Why do you, you got better things to do with your life, and you're a capitalist and you know how to make money. Why subject yourself to this? Let me tell you something right now. They can talk about me running all they want to. They don't have anything to worry about when they told me they're going to take my money, because I immediately got to come off the air the second I announce I'm running. The one thing they ain't doing is taking my money. They ain't got to worry about me running if they're going to take my money. Now, if they ain't messing with my money and I could still go to work, I would be on that debate stage in a heartbeat, going up against mostly the progressive left. I'm a centrist who leans left on certain things, leans right fiscally, but I am not down with MAGA, and I am not down with the progressives, and I'm proud to say that. I don't give a damn what anybody says. But having said that, I wouldn't hesitate to be on that debate stage. With that being said, why are you still in this, sir, with what you've described Washington to be? Why put yourself through this?
You see that flag behind me right there? In all sincerity, that's a 48-star flag. That was on my uncle's casket. My mama, a school teacher, she was a young lady in at Army vehicle, came to their house in Cheatham County and told my mama and her mama, my grandmother, that her oldest boy, Roy, had died fighting the Nazis. And my dad was out fighting the Japanese in the Marine Corps in some of the most brutal combat. That's why I'm here. Because I stand on some pretty cool shoulders, and I'm an unrepentant mama's boy. My daddy was my best friend. I'm 61 years old, and I still go out to their grave and I cry like a baby, because the America that they fought for and endured, I think it's worth fighting for. I mean, yeah, I get paid a ton of money. I could sit on the back row and not do anything and not fight, but I think it's worth fighting for. I really do. I think God has granted us an incredible gift, and we've just got to figure out how to harness it a little better. Yeah.
You need a hell raise up there. That's one of the reasons I've considered stuff, because I'd raise hell. I could tell you that much. I'd promise you that. But let me ask you this before. I got a couple of questions before I let you get on out of here. Is there a scenario in which you'd abandon the president on the Iran issue? Is there any scenario that could come up, that could prop up, that would make you say, I'm out of here. I can't deal with this. There's no way I'm going to accept this.
Yeah, I don't see any shape, form, or fashion of putting American troops on the ground over there. I'd have to say I'm not going to vote for that. I couldn't stomach that, because that's just another endless war and the big boys profit. And when my daddy died, I found a little plaque on his desk, and I'm paraphrasing it. It said, old men make decisions and young men die. And that's what in these war pimps, they'll sell us, they'll sell you. Yeah, I've got an 18-year-old daughter, sir. I do not want to see her going into any of that situation for some other, if it's on the border, if it's on in our country, or if it's a threat. Now, they were a threat. Now, they had nuclear capabilities and they had nuclear power. They had the, I believe it was a plutonium to do it,
right,
which they still have. And that concerns me. And I would hope we could have a collaboration, because if you saw, the Israelis were actually able to fly over Saudi Arabia without any interference. That should tell you right there that the Middle East does not want any shape, form, or fashion to do anything with Iran. They realize they are bad actors, and they are finally figuring out, sir, that it's a lot more profitable to get involved in the capitalism game than it is sending their young people off to die in war for Allah or whoever else, because they realize it. And that's another thing in this country. And thank you for letting me pontificate. You're much cheaper than a psychiatrist.
So. Go ahead. All right. Go ahead.
No, but these leaders, world leaders, whether it be out on the world stage in the Middle East or in this country, they love it when black and white folks are killing each other. They love it when Jews and Christians are fighting. They love all this stuff, because why? It keeps their lousy asses in power. And that's, and Trump is not from that cut. And that's one of the reasons I like him, because he is not their boy and they know it. And they're not going to control him. And that we've got a real problem in that in the world, because it's all about profit.
Before I let you get on out of here, I got one more question to ask you, and I got to transition. This is about UFOs. I couldn't let you out of here without asking you about that. You've said you've seen UFO briefings. that would, quote, set the earth on fire, end quote. And you also said publicly, you're not suicidal. That's a serious statement. What exactly are you being told that the American people aren't allowed to hear, sir, about
you? Well, we go into what's called a skiff, and that's kind of James Bond room. You know, it's lead lined. You can't take a cell phone. You got a Fitbit. I don't. But, you know, I've been in those rooms and they'll say, hey, somebody's still getting a signal. Somebody's got a cell phone and somebody will check their, oh crap, that's my Fitbit. Sorry, it's my whatever. And they have to go out of the room. Mm. And we're briefed by the highest level of either our military intelligence, these alphabet agencies, and they tell us things, which again, you've got one group telling you within some of these things that they don't exist. One time this little punk with a freaking man bun. And then you got these military people telling us that something does exist. And I've been briefed and seen pictures and talked enough, but you got to realize too, it's all about the money. And is this a psyop or what? Are they putting this garbage out there so that people will say, gosh, we need to fund these agencies more. And so we can research it more. I'm not into all that. It's not about little green men. It's not about flying saucers, sir. It's about what are they spending tens of your, maybe billions of your tax dollars on? If it doesn't exist, then why are they studying it? And if it does exist, as I told President Trump the other day, you need disclosure. We need transparency. America can handle it. I'm sick of hearing this stuff. We can't handle it. It's, you know, and I'm a Christian, and they appealed to me on that level. Bartlett, this stuff's kind of anti-Christian, you know, in your beliefs. I said, no, it isn't. Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth.
What do they look like? Can you tell me? I mean, you've seen Independence Day. You've seen aliens. You've seen a few things. What do they look like? Give me that one.
Well, it's not Independence Day, I'll tell you that.
Okay. I got you. But what can you tell me? Geez,
but they're going to, if they would just release what I was briefed on just a couple weeks ago. Again, we had somebody come in there, a colleague, a friend, if you will, that was basically there to disrupt.
Okay.
And they tried to ruffle this guy's feathers and ask him stuff. And sir, he named names, dates, people in the meetings, where these items, if you will, are located. And it's too much. It's too much, sir. It's too much is going on. But don't believe any of this stuff you see on the internet, this AI stuff. I wouldn't believe it unless I saw it with my own two eyes. Okay?
All right.
So, but Trump's the guy to do it. If anybody will do it, if anybody's a disruptor, it's Donald J. Trump, and he will disrupt with this. And I had a conversation with folks at the White House today just about that, and we're going to be, hopefully some things will be coming out soon. And
he promised it during the campaign, but he also promised a lot of transparency with the Epstein files. That hasn't worked out that way, I can tell you that much. But listen, I know I got to let you go because I got to run. But I'd be remiss in neglecting to bring this up to you, sir. Since Trump returned to office, Democrats have been somewhat successful, if not, dare I say, very successful at the polls, during elections. How concerned are you about the GOP for the midterms?
Well, I'm of the belief system that the far left takes it over, we lose our country. I think you've got a socialist group. I mean, some of these people, sir, are openly Marxist, whether you hate the Republican Party or whatever. But Marxism does not work. Margaret Thatcher said it best. Pretty soon you run out of rich people. It works in the beginning because you plunder all the wealth a couple of years into it, and it doesn't work. And there's no incentive for profit and anything else, and it breeds mediocrity. And this country is about excelling. It's about American excellence. Trump talks about that a lot, at least in private meetings he does. And the worst enemy in politics that the Republicans have is their messaging. Our messaging stinks. Mm-hmm. I think we've done some great things. I think there's some really fine stuff within that big, beautiful bill that we just, for some reason, we blunder. And part of the trouble is a lot of our members in both sides of the aisle are so dadgum old. I mean, they're still listening to their 8-track tape players and their 1972 Gremlins or something, and they're wearing their powder blue leisure suits in both parties. They're just too dadgum old, and they can't message to young people. They don't realize that it's It's right here. And it's podcasts like yourself that are making, that are turning the world on its edge. And I think it pretty someday we're going to figure that out, or we're going to settle the consequences.
Very, very last question. Are you a proponent for age limits for representatives and Senate figures in a nation's capital? Do you believe there should be age limits?
Ideally, yes, sir. But will that happen? No way. There's no way. You're going to have to get Congress to vote to put limit themselves. And neither party will do that, sir. And gotcha. And I think the trouble we got is when 12% of the population, and me as a Christian, almost 40% of people who identify as evangelical Christians fail to go to the polls. Gun owners, 30% fail to go to the polls. But, you know, they're always griping, and they'll throw up to you, well, what's it matter? You know, they're going to steal the election. Well, dadgummit, here's a sports analogy for you. Put enough dadgum points on the board where they can't steal the game. When less than 12% of the population or something like that votes, that throws away everything that flag represented. Gotcha. That was put on a man's casket that fought so we could go to the polls, or we could, you know, or we could listen to what those knuckleheads on The View say, you know, and that dictates our political thinking. I tell kids today, I said, look, when you read an article in the newspaper or hear something, figure out what their agenda is and use that beautiful brain God gave you to figure it out. Don't Fox News it or CNN. People say, did you see such and such? And I say, no, I don't. I just don't watch that stuff. I live it.
Well, and you watch me and I appreciate you. I really, really do. So thank you so much. All right. I look forward to talking to you again real soon. Thank you for being on the show, sir. You take care of yourself. All right.
All right, I want to take you to dinner one night. Come over to the Capitol Hill Club, and we'll make people really nervous, and all we'll do is talk about foes.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll be there in a few weeks, actually, so I'll make sure to take you up on that. Thank you so much. Representative Tim Burchett, right here with Stephen A., Straight Shooter with Stephen A. 866-967-6887. That's 866-96-POTUS. Your calls and more up next, right here with Straight Shooter with Stephen A. Don't go away.